Who can you trust?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We begin with our oxymoron of the day, business ethics. Okay, maybe that's a little harsh, but the evidence is mounting. We'll start with Samsung. The memory chip maker has pled guilty in a U.S. price-fixing probe. It's the third company to admit conspiring with rivals to inflate the price of computer memory. Samsung's $300 million fine is the second largest antitrust fine ever. Surely some CEOs are as clean as a whistle, but the list is dwindling. The latest example, futures trading giant Refco. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Refco seemed like a solid investment. The financial services firm has been in operation for nearly 40 years and is the largest independent futures broker in the U.S. But over the last few days, it announced massive cash flow problems, and now its CEO is accused of falsifying company books and funneling hundreds of millions of dollars into a company he controlled. What's surprising in all of this? Refco went public 2 months ago, a process that's supposed to involve scrutiny of company books and practices. Laura Hartman is a professor of business ethics at DePaul University.
The IPO just happens. It's when they're most transparent, and we still didn't know. I really think it's going to deteriorate trust in the market system.
The Chicago Mercantile Exchange saw its shares plunge on what's being called guilt by association. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Okay, this is a huge amount of money. In Japan today, lawmakers passed a bill that will privatize the country's $3 trillion postal system. The reforms are expected to create the world's largest bank. Shia Levitt has more.
The privatization of Japan's postal system has been hailed as the crucial centerpiece for Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi's economic reforms for the country. But not everyone is convinced. Political economist Stephen Vogel.
In terms of the economic ramifications of this, I think the jury is still out. Probably over the very long term, it will be part of a process whereby Japanese financial markets become more efficient, but I certainly would not overstate its importance.
Proponents say the reforms will enable a bigger role for the private sector and a more efficient allocation of funds. The changes are not expected to happen overnight, though. The plan is slated for completion in 2017. I'm Shia Levitt for Marketplace.
The time is now for Wall Street, always now. Take Apple this week. The company's stock dove a couple days ago despite huge fourth-quarter profits. iPod sales weren't up to snuff. But yesterday, Apple's stock soared 9%. Investors like the new video iPod and a TV distribution deal with Disney. Finally, all the Hilton hotels under one roof. The British hotel and casino company Hilton Group said today that it's in talks to sell its 400 hotels to American-based Hilton. The Hilton hotels split originally in 1964. Apple surged helped the Nasdaq. Everything else was a wash. The Dow was virtually unchanged, dropping a third of a point to stay at 10,216. Same thing for the S&P 500. It dipped less than a point. The Nasdaq gained almost 10 to finish up at 2047. You're listening to Marketplace. We're cruising at about 35,000 feet for today's installment of the Job Files.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has eliminated the passenger seatbelt sign.
I'm Sylvia Price, and I'm a Frontier Airlines flight attendant based out of Denver. Years and years ago, I went to work for Delta Airlines in reservations. Back then, I was too tall and too married to be a flight attendant. You couldn't be married, and you couldn't be but 5'8". I think I'm really good at what I do. I love it, and I think I can turn passengers that had bad days around. I actually do like flying. You know, they say, you know, the worst thing you can say at a job interview is that I really like people and I love to fly. But, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it kind of gets in your blood, I suppose.
Today's Job Files was produced by Amy Scott. Marketplace, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Reuters, reporting from around the world, every day. Every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The thousands of workers cleaning up New Orleans have set up ragtag settlements on the city's West Bank. The encampments in the neighborhood of Algiers are kind of a throwback to the public works camps of the Great Depression. But there are a couple of differences. These have a few modern amenities, for one thing, and as Sam Eaton reports, a lot of griping about their government bosses.
Mechanic Rick Bell says his work begins when the teams of trucks roll back into this improvised camp in a city park and the cleanup crews call it a day.
As they start pulling in around 6 o'clock, then I guess start greasing them and oiling them and everything else, so I don't get done till about 10 at night probably.
Bell works for Skinner Storm Service out of Springfield, Illinois. That's a subcontractor for the Louisiana firm Omni Pinnacle, which in turn subcontracts to the Houston firm ECC, which won a $500 million contract from the Army Corps of Engineers. Didn't quite follow that? Skinner Storm Service's Ed Skinner says figuring it out isn't worth the time.
This is a big political battle down here.
Skinner sits in a lawn chair in front of his 40-foot trailer swatting mosquitoes. He says ever since FEMA put the Army Corps of Engineers in charge of New Orleans cleanup, things have gone downhill.
They wanted to make an impression on the city, so they've brought in so many trucks, there's just not much left to do. They've got contractors running over contractors. Everybody's irritable because of it.
And making a lot less money. Skinner says his 11 semi-trucks, which are paid about $150 a load, are now lucky to squeeze in 3 hauls a day. He says that's down from around 25 hauls a day when FEMA was still in charge. Many are fed up with the red tape and the growing animosity toward out-of-state contractors. On the other side of the park, Sergio Cervantes is part of a team from Odessa, Texas. They're packing it in and heading home tomorrow.
It ain't worth it, man. Staying away from home, missing kids, family, you know, mama. The hot meals.
Cervantes says after a month of working and living out of his truck, he still hasn't seen a paycheck. This was his first hurricane cleanup job, and he says it's definitely his last. But for subcontractors like Tommy Kinsey and his crew from Gulf Shores, Alabama, chasing hurricanes is a living.
I started working a storm last year, August 18th, down in Florida, and then come home and worked diving all the way through February. Quit in February, started back in July in Gulf Breeze, Florida, Hurricane Dennis, and we've been down, finished it, and been down here ever since.
Kinsey says he'll stay until the work runs out. He says, judging from the way things are going, that could be years from now.
I think it's a sign of the times, look in the back of the Bible. It's wars, wars, rumors of wars, storms, floods, earthquakes. I think we're in Revelation, to be honest with you. It might be tomorrow, it might be 500 years, don't nobody know.
Until then, Kinsey says he's going to be a very busy man in New Orleans. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.